If you will, go to the first lesson, and I know that we won't have the time to get through the entirety of this lesson this evening, but we'll be able to get a start. And I would like you to turn in your New Testaments to Mark the 12th chapter, Mark chapter 12. And we'll go ahead and read verses 28 through 34 here in Mark chapter 12. And this is, again, a question that the scribe had for the Lord and his answer, and then the scribe's rejoinder, and then the Lord's assessment of the scribe's understanding. And it's very beneficial for us. There are a couple of introductory thoughts and passages I want to go to until we get into the text. This will serve to start us off. Dennis, would you mind reading that section, verses 28 through 34, please?
Sure. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' So the scribe said to him, 'Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' So when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to them, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared question him."
Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate that. So we have the text that we're going to be looking at least to begin our lesson in a few moments. I want you to note especially the 30th verse. What we're talking about, the title of the lesson is Serving God, which is the proper perspective, that our purpose in life is to serve God, and that's stated most concisely in the 30th verse. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, we have already read Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, and made note of the fact that a lot of the times the problems that people have with sorrow, with despair in life, come as a result of not having that perspective. While we made that point with regard to those who are without, those who do not have God in the picture at all, I do want you to recognize that when travails and trials are heavy upon us, it is possible for us to lose the perspective we would normally have. That is, when things are most difficult, when we most need to be looking to God, drawing closer to Him, emphasizing our need to serve Him acceptably in preparation for the life to come. Those are the times that it is sometimes most difficult to do so. And so there is, in a sense, a way in which individuals can basically lose the correct picture or lose the proper perspective. And that, I wanted to emphasize that by going over to 2 Peter chapter 1. If you'll look there, 2 Peter chapter 1, and I have verse 8 as the first verse in that context. Verse 5 actually begins the context, where the Apostle Paul, Peter, very early in his epistle, pleads with them, gives them an exhortation to add to their faith. This is a process of maturity as a Christian. And you must strive to grow stronger each day, draw closer to the Lord each day, and the way in which you do that is by adding to your faith other attributes, such as, in the list, verse 6 or verse 5 and following, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. So these are seven things that you add to your faith so as to grow stronger as a Christian, to better be able to handle yourself in life, prepare for the life to come. Now you notice in verse 8, the end result of an individual who does not add to his faith, does not grow in this way, does not equip himself in this way. He says, "If these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, this is going to be a primary premise, I think, overall in our lessons for the next several weeks. What we need to do is to keep our focus on things eternal. That in and of itself, keeping our focus on things eternal. I'm not talking about having your heads in the cloud, but rather, as you live your life each day, live for eternity. That in so doing, because you have that proper perspective, you have an understanding of the comparative values of physical things versus spiritual things, of temporal things versus eternal things, that it's going to allow you to overcome with joy, or at the very least with equanimity, many of the difficulties that life will present you with. The idea of a proper focus. And that's why I wanted to utilize this particular verse, because in verse 9, an individual who does not apply these attributes, he becomes short-sighted. He becomes myopic. And that, I think the Apostle Peter does a wonderful job of explaining that. And remember this, that when the Apostle Peter lived, it wasn't possible to pop in a contact and receive correction. And you know that I've always worn glasses up here. I've got my contacts in for the last several months, so I can actually see these words. Because I'm extremely nearsighted, and so in order for me, if I don't have glasses on or contacts to read those words, I have to go right here. So I have to get that close. I'm extremely short-sighted, extremely nearsighted. And all I can see is what is in front of me. And that's what the Apostle Peter is talking about here. If you are not continually going forward, maturing, applying yourself as a Christian, if you're not keeping your nose to the grindstone, if you're not being diligent to develop yourself and mature as a child of God, then what happens is you become very nearsighted. All you concern yourself with, all you can see, all that's in your sphere of vision are the things that are temporal, the things that are right in front of your face. And instead, you should be looking far away to what is to come, what is eternal. And again, that's the mindset that you're supposed to have. So, if you do not add these things, you're short-sighted. You forget even that you were cleansed from your sins. But if you're diligent to make your calling and election sure, you'll never stumble. This is an assurance that we have. This world throws us a lot of curves. There are a lot of difficulties in life. Really, really hard sometimes to stay on the straight and narrow. Maybe temptation, maybe trials, troubles in life. And those things are very, very difficult sometimes to overcome. But if you are keeping your nose to the grindstone, if you're keeping your focus on eternity, then you will not stumble. That's the promise that God gives you. We talked in Galatians chapter 5, you remember the flesh versus the spirit, that tie together on Sunday morning, that warfare, that tug of war between the two. If you walk in the spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's basically saying the same thing. If you are striving to be a faithful child of God, you have your focus on things eternal, then you will not stumble. Rather, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we need to have that proper perspective. Any comments, questions? Okay, that gets us basically to the end of our introduction. I want to finish our time together this evening by going back to Ecclesiastes. And if you'll turn with me there to the 12th chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Again, a passage that is very familiar to each of us if we have studied the book before. It's basically the astounding conclusion to it all. Chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. When we're talking about our focus, this is what we need to keep in mind. Josh Jackson, would you mind reading verses 13 and 14 of Ecclesiastes 12, please?
Absolutely. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil.
Okay. All right, so this is what we keep in mind. Every day of our lives, always. And again, remember the context. The preacher had tried everything that life had to offer and saw it to be vain. So what's life all about? That's what he's saying. This is what life is all about. Our focus, our perspective must be service to God. Fear God, keep His commandments. Literal words that are found in the Hebrew with regard to this is, I think, very well related in the New King James translation. The King James renders it the whole duty of man. In the New King James, it is rendered, for this is man's all. And if you have a King James version, you may notice, at least in some of the editions of it, that the word duty is something that is italicized, which is a word that is added to give a sense or to help. But in this case, it weakens it a little bit. It is the whole of man. It is man's all to serve God. Fear God, keep His commandments. That's the reason why we are here. There is a good reason for this, ultimately going back to the concept of looking to eternity rather than this life. Why are we here on this life? In this life. We are here in this life to prepare us for a later life. This is a physical life, a temporal life, a life that is bound by birth and death. Later we have a life that is an eternal life. Or let me rephrase that. We have an existence that is an eternal existence without beginning, or without beginning certainly, but without end. That's what the idea of eternity indicates. There is no end to it. That existence can be in the presence of God, or it can be separate from God. The way the Scripture reveals it very clearly is that if you're in the presence of God, it's joy. If you're separate from God, it is despair. So the question you ask is, where do I want to spend eternity? Not, how do I want to spend this life? And that's where everybody gets it wrong. They say, I want to spend my life going for the gusto, enjoying every moment. Or they say, this life is too hard, it is too difficult, it is something that causes me untold sadness and travail, and I'm in despair. And individuals who have that view, whether it be let's enjoy it to its best or they're beaten down by it, both of them are living their lives without the realization that this life is temporal, it is bound by birth and death, whereas the next life is the one that you're to look to because it is eternal, and there is the prospect of eternal joy in the presence of God. So how do I live my life? I live my life looking to that life that is to come after. I live my life in whatever way is required for me to have the joy rather than despair. Whatever it costs me, whatever sacrifice that I may have to bear in order to get there, there is so much better than here that's what I want to focus on. And I can rejoice and I can be happy and I can be at peace in the realization that no matter what this world may do to me, the comfort and the peace and the safety and the rest is waiting for me after this life is over. And so that begs the question, how do I do that? And the answer is, I serve God. God has told me how to get there, and that's what I do. And if I do that, I can be joyous even while I'm living on this earth. We'll, I think, evidence that will prove that as we look at the material that will follow. So pick up with, again, a discussion of the text next week. And I have a feeling it will take us the remainder of the class to finish this first lesson. We'll have the second lesson, maybe the third, also laid out at that time. Appreciate very much everyone's kind attention.